Welcome to the Sportscast, October 23rd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or on X and Instagram at thesportscast1. And check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Week 7. We saw what the Miami Dolphins are really all about. We also saw the Steelers being measured with the Rams, which is something that we talked about. Joe Toscano, welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, big week. As the season goes on, we're starting to learn about these teams. We're starting to learn who's the contenders and the pretenders and who's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
And we talked about this a week ago as we were going to preview this game a little bit later, but Pittsburgh beat the Rams in Los Angeles. And I told Joe, this is a good measuring stick for Pittsburgh to see where they're at. And would you agree with that?
It was a big win for the Steelers. It was a very good measuring stick. The Rams are much better than people thought, especially that I thought going into the season. They're a good, tough team. And for the Steelers to go into Los Angeles and beat them says a lot. Not that the Steelers are good, but they're 4-2. That's not bad.
Are you getting more calmer now? Because I know at the beginning of the season, you guys were kind of like about to hit the panic button, but it feels like you guys are seeming a little bit more calmer than before.
No. Here's why. 4-2 is an impressive record in the NFL. The wins that they get, and even this win yesterday, I don't want to say they're lucky, but it is very frustrating because they play horribly especially the offense for the first three quarters. And then the fourth quarter, they become like the greatest team ever. And they save it for the end, which is great, but it's very frustrating. So no, there's really not a calm about the Steelers. They're still not where they want to be, but it's cool that they're winning these games.
Like my computer science friends, you got to see more data. You got to see more.
That's right. That's right.
Information. This game, it's only early. It's not even mid-season yet, isn't it?
No, I mean the Steelers have only played 6 games. I think we're on week 7, so we're not even near the halfway point yet.
Yeah, around next week or the following week, we'll get more into mid-season. So we'll definitely see more teams. And anyways, we talked a little bit about Steelers. Let's go into this recap. A lot going on. I'm looking forward to the last game we're going to recap because my Dolphins. I don't know. I'm still wondering about it. Anyways, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get ready to rumble. Let's first start with Cleveland at Indianapolis. PJ Walker, who replaced injured quarterback Deshaun Watson the first quarter and directed a second straight fourth quarter comeback, relying on Hunt's second score of the day with 15 seconds left to give Cleveland 39-38 victory over the Colts. What a game.
Crazy game. People will say that the refs helped out the Browns because there were crucial penalties in that final drive that gave the Browns basically the touchdown. Okay, whatever. I mean, it's still a high scoring game. Nobody expected this from the Browns or the Colts that they would score this much, yet they did. But the big issue for the Browns is what the heck are they doing at quarterback? Deshaun Watson got knocked out, and apparently he was medically cleared to come back in, and they decided not to bring him back in. This is huge. Either he's really still hurt, which he probably is, or the coaches don't have faith in him or something like that. But I honestly believe they are worse off with Deshaun Watson. They're better off with PJ Walker as their quarterback. PJ Walker beat the 49ers and now the Colts. He's 2-0.
Hey, that's enough information for me to keep him starting. Look, this is my philosophy with quarterbacks. If the quarterback's winning, keep starting them.
Exactly.
That's my philosophy. And that's going to go for another team we're going to talk about a little bit later on. Jerome Ford, you remember him, had a 69-yard touchdown on the third play of the game and finished with 11 carries for 74 yards, while Walker was 15 of 32 with 178 yards. What a game for Jerome Ford.
It is so tough because they're almost their entire team was Nick Chubb, and then Nick Chubb got hurt for the year. And Jerome Ford is almost as good. He's different. He's a little bit smaller and faster, but still, he is still very good too in that offense. So they just need to figure out their quarterback situation. The Browns could be very good if they had a good quarterback. I don't think it's Deshaun Watson.
Do you think the ownership is pressuring the head coach? Hey, we got to start Deshaun because we're paying him a lot of money.
Probably. I'm sure that's happening.
Gardner Minshew has lost two straight games, committed four more turnovers, three of which Cleveland turned into scores. That's a problem with quarterback as well. They wish they had Richardson, but he's out for the season.
That's the thing. This entire season was supposed to be about, you know we're not going to win, but we're going to let Anthony Richardson develop so that he could be good in future years. Well, now he's out for the year, and he's out for the year early, so he didn't even get that experience. This is a lost year for the Colts. Minshew is okay. He's a good backup, but now he's going to be the guy for the rest of the year. Okay. I mean, you know, putting up 38 points on a very good Browns defense is very impressive. So the Colts are going to win some games. It's just kind of a lost season for them.
And then one game in particular, the Baltimore Ravens. That was a massive win. Anyways, yeah. Let's go on to the next game. The Giants, Tyrod Taylor, he's still around. Yes, he threw for two second quarter touchdown passes, and Dexter Lawrence led defense at six sacks, Joe, and made a last-minute stand to help New York snap a four-game skid with a 14-7 victory over the Commanders. And Walker scored the tight end.
Finally, Darren Waller got involved. Darren Waller came in to the season, and everybody had all kinds of hype about him. I know I drafted him in my fantasy leagues, and he hasn't done diddly squats. But yesterday he played very well. I think the Giants also might have a quarterback controversy. Are the Giants better with Tyrod Taylor? I don't
know.
Which I
was referring to you earlier. Yeah. Look, Tyrod Taylor won last day, and I spoke to Vic about this morning, actually. He says Tyrod Taylor should start the next game.
It's like that Herm Edwards once said one time, you play to win the games. If the quarterback you have is winning the games, you keep him in there. Hello? It should be that simple.
And, of course, Daniel Jones is dealing with a neck injury, so I would give him a lot of rest to heal that up. Hey, yeah, if Taylor's winning and he's connecting with Darren Waller, keep him.
Yeah.
Anyways, exactly. The Giants have a good record with Washington Commanders. Good job. And also, one clear stat, the Giants scored for the first time in the first half in a while. So.
Oh, boy. Low expectations there.
This game was video game Baltimore Ravens. They reached the end zone four times before Detroit, who is a favorite to win it all, even managed a first down Sunday, and the Ravens trounced the Lions 38-6, Joe.
Wow, this game said a lot. The Lions and the Ravens with good records. They're both considered, you know, two top 10 teams, but the Lions just went into Baltimore and just got destroyed. It wasn't even as close as this score indicates. I don't think it says that poorly about the Lions. I think this is a situation where the Ravens and Lamar Jackson are so unique. You know, teams like the Steelers and the Browns and the Bengals, they're used to playing the Ravens because they play him twice every year, and they're used to Lamar Jackson. But if you're like the Lions in a whole other conference that you only see him like once every 4 years, and you see like Lamar Jackson, he's just a freak. He's unique. There is no other quarterback like him. I mean, you can't replicate him like in a practice field. I think they were just overwhelmed by Lamar Jackson. And also, Lamar Jackson is just having an amazing year. He is basically, he might be the MVP front runner right now, or definitely in the conversation for MVP.
Lamar Jackson was flawless. MVP possibility, that's what Joe said. Let's go to Chicago. Tyson Bagan, have you heard of him? Led three touchdown drives in the first start with Justin Fields highlighting with the injury. Deonte Foreman ran for 2 scores and caught a touchdown pass, and the Chicago Bears beat the Raiders 30-12. What a win by the Bears.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. This dude, an undrafted rookie from a Division II school. I don't think, I could be wrong on this, but I think that hasn't happened since 1950. And he comes in and he looks good. How is this possible? Every time you have a rookie quarterback coming in, or a quarterback coming in cold or something like that, they look like a deer caught in the headlights. And this dude looked amazing. I mean, here, this might be another quarterback controversy. Maybe they're better off with this Badgett dude.
Yeah, he was celebrating a lot at the end of the game. So we'll see what happens with Chicago. Another big mystery there. Let's go to Atlanta versus Tampa. Overcoming 3 fumbles, the young quarterback lost deep in Tampa Bay's territory, as well as numerous costly penalties in defense. Atlanta rallied Sunday for a 16-13 victory that stopped an 8-game road losing streak, and lifted them atop the division. I was surprised about this game, Joe, because I thought Tampa Bay was looking good. They lost 2 home games already, one with the Lions, now with Atlanta. What's going on with this game?
I think the Falcons and Tampa are basically at the same level. They're basically pretty good teams that might win or might lose every week, depending on who they play. And this was just a toss-up game. You know, it came down to a last-second field goal, but it could have gone either way. The thing about the Falcons is it all depends on what's his face, the quarterback. I forget his name now. But
Falcons, Ritter.
Ritter. Desmond Ritter. It's all on him. He did have some fumbles, and they have problems with turnovers in the red zone. They can fix that. And Ritter shows flashes of being good, kind of like the Steelers with Kenny Pickett, flashes of being good. So if they could just be more consistent with that, if Ritter could actually be a good quarterback, they've got a really good team there. And the Bucs, I think they'll be okay. I think they're just a 50-50 team.
Yeah. Ritter, as you were talking about, scored for a 2-yard run for an early 7-0 lead and shrugged off his mistakes to use a 39-yard completion to Kyle Pitts to set up a young Koku through a third field goal of the game, a 51-yarder as the time expired to hand the Bucks the third loss in 4 games. Let's go into the game of the day, according to Joe. Jalen Warren and Najee Harris rushed for 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and the Steelers awoke from a quiet offensive day just in time for a 24-17 victory. Joe, you got the floor on this game.
Yeah, this was a nice win for the Steelers. Basically, their template for winning is that their defense has to play really well, cause turnovers, possibly score touchdowns, and the offense has to be just good enough, and at the end, pull it away. So that's basically how the Steelers need to win. The Rams are still pretty good, but the Steelers were able to neutralize Aaron Donald, and they were able to keep Cooper Kupp to, I think, like 2 catches or something like that. Like they basically neutralized him. Puka Nacua had a huge day, but still, the Steelers defense did enough, and the offense did enough. So it's just, you know, it's a crazy way to win, you know, to expect your defense to be awesome and your offense to just do enough. But that's what the Steelers did.
Yeah, and I might have to retract my prediction a few weeks ago where I said that I mentioned Rams as the honorable mention in the top five teams that could win the Super Bowl. I might have to retract the Rams.
Hey, I don't blame you.
Faith in them.
No, you're pretty good there. Matthew Stafford is still one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Even though he's old, he's still pretty good. You got Cooper Kupp and Nacua, who are two. Basically, Puka Nacua is like a carbon copy of Cooper Kupp. They're basically two awesome wide receivers. You got a defense that's, you know, has Aaron Donald, which is still awesome. And you got a good coach in McVay. So I could see the Rams not being Super Bowl contender good, but still good enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah, playoff contenders, of course. Let's go into Seattle, Joe. Kenneth Walker III rushed for a season-high 105 yards. Rookie Jackson Smith, Nigbe, and Jake Bobo both caught first-half touchdown passes, and the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 20-10. Geno Smith, Joe, threw for 219 yards and connected with his rookie pass catchers on the day. DK Metcalf missed the first game of his career. Can you believe that? But the Seahawks were able to overcome Arizona, NFC West rivals But Arizona is dropped to 1-6, but Seattle had a massive win.
This is basically expected. Arizona has a terrible run defense, so everybody expected Kenneth Walker to have a huge day. It's very nice that when you lose your best wide receiver, you have your first round draft pick wide receiver just to come in and so we'll see how Smith and Jigba does going forward. But this is a very expected result. The Cardinals are just not very good, and Seattle is pretty good.
Yeah, Seattle definitely has potential to win that division. We'll see. It's them or the Rams, to be honest. Let's go into Kansas City. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what it is. It might be a Taylor Swift sensation. Patrick Mahomes threw for 424 yards, Joe. 4 touchdowns. Travis Kelce caught 12 passes for 179 yards and a score. And the Chiefs beat the poor Chargers 31-17. Brendan Staley might say, hey, the Chiefs are this good. But Joe, your thoughts over this matchup?
Wait, you mean me tell me they played a football game? I thought it was the Taylor Swift Chargers fan showcase or something like that.
She every second too during the show. I mean, during the game.
Every second they're either showing Taylor Swift or that crazy Chargers fan. Hey, good for her. She seems like just a real dedicated fan. People tried to bring her down. Hey, go be a passionate fan. Good for you. This was the Chiefs are not as dominating as they've been in previous years, but they're a quiet 6-1, if that's a thing. They've quietly won 6 in a row. The Chargers are just, you know, they're talking about getting rid of firing the Raiders coach McDaniels, but they're also talking about firing the Chargers coach Brandon Staley. I'm not sure either of them are going to last the whole season. But the Chiefs are just good. They're just, you know, if you rank the teams, all the teams in the NFL, the Chiefs would be either 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah. Marcus Valdes-Scantling had 3 catches for 84 yards and a touchdown. Rasheed Rice and Isaiah Pacheco also caught touchdown passes. And the Chiefs won their 6th straight to take a 3-game lead in the division. They have won 7 straight years. I would say they might win the AFC West division. We'll find out in a few weeks, but probably so. All right, let's go into Denver. Backup safety PJ Locke saved the Broncos, Joe, from another second-half meltdown, intercepting Jordan Love's deep pass in the closing minutes to preserve a 19-17 win over the Packers on Sunday. That is a massive win by the Broncos. Your thoughts?
Huge win by the Broncos. They're still a mess, I think. I think the Broncos still have problems. But this is just not looking good for the Packers. Basically, the entire Packers season is... The Packers will win if Jordan Love plays well. And there's a whole evaluation for Jordan Love. You know, this is his first year starting. He's just going through it and getting the experience. And he's just, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not good. He just wasn't good. He threw that interception late. They could have won, but that mistake cost them.
Big mistake. Winning at home is one thing Broncos have been struggling this season. Good job. We'll see what happens with the rest of the gang. The game of the weekend, everyone was talking about it. Even Joe was talking about it. Philly won Sunday Night Football against the Dolphins, 31-17. Jalen Hurts had 279 yards, 3 total touchdowns, and a 32nd career rushing touchdown tied with Randall Cunningham for the most by a quarterback in franchise history. It did do the tush push. That is an effect. You know, their success rate, Joe, I think it's like 81% for conversions. Anyways, your thoughts over this matchup?
I'm not a fan of the tush push, brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. That's not football. It's rugby. They basically pick up a guy and shove him into space. What? That's not football. I don't know. They really should ban that. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. But, hey, they got it to work. So, whatever. The Eagles also had their old school uniforms, their Kelly Greens, which I love. I wish they would go to that all the time. But this was a huge statement game for the Dolphins and the Eagles. The Eagles lost last week. It's like, how are they going to respond to that? The Dolphins came in and they just this game wasn't really close. It was the Eagles were on top almost the entire time. It just says a lot about the Dolphins that they are not there yet. They're a top five team, maybe top six team, but they can't get past the good teams. They got spanked by the Bills, and now they got beat handily by the Eagles. So they're a very good team, just not elite.
Yeah, that's something that this was going to be a test, a measuring stick for the Dolphins. They did look pretty level, but offensively, they couldn't get anything going. It was pretty much Tyreek making short catches from Tua. It's funny because when I was at the restaurant, when I was watching the game, they were saying they need to run the ball more towards the middle. They only ran the ball 11 times.
It just wasn't working. I mean, you know, usually when you see the Dolphins, they are one of the best offensive teams. Mike McDaniel is a legit genius. They get schemes to make the offense look good and make the defense look bad. But in this game, the Eagles had answers for everything. It didn't matter if the Dolphins tried to run, pass. It didn't matter. The Eagles had an answer for it.
Joe, we have one more game to review. I forgot. We skipped over. We went to Sunday Night Football because I was really excited about this one. But I have to say this. The Patriots beating the Bills 29-25. It gave Bill Belichick his third coach. It gave the record of winning 300 regular seasons. He's now with the top three with Alice and Don Shula. What a win by the Patriots. What are your thoughts?
This should not have been a surprise, even though a lot of people thought that the Bills would win this because of the Bills are good and the Patriots are having a really bad season. But when you have a team that keeps losing, eventually they're going to have a game like this where they just come out on top. The Bills and the Patriots know each other so well and they hate each other so much that this should not have been a surprise that the Patriots won. People are saying bad things about the Bills. I would throw this game out. I think it's just that the Patriots were just so angry about losing all the time that they just took it out on the Bills.
Yeah, we'd like to look at the record of what is the record with Patriots and Bills in New England. It's probably a high number, high winning percentage for the Patriots, I imagine.
Probably, so, yeah.
As Joe said, this should not be surprising. You know, probably New England fans hate the Bills and everything like that, so that's going to happen. Well, there you have it. That is week 7 recap. It was a good week. A lot of teams out for the bye, like the Cowboys. But let's look at the standings here for a bit because, you know, when it comes to standings, things could change in any second. Let's go into the AFC East. The top of the table is Miami. They got a they have a one game wiggle room, which they have had that for most of the season. And then the Bills, Jets, and Pats. But the Dolphins should feel okay. But obviously, they need to win a little bit more games just to get ahead from the Bills.
That's going to be super interesting. Yeah, the Dolphins have a one game lead right now. You know, the Bills are going to win more. I think the Jets are going to. I don't know what they're going to do because who knows how Zach Wilson's going to do. But I think the Patriots are going to start winning some games too. So this is going to get real interesting. This is going to be one of those divisions where every team is good, and we'll see how that all shakes out.
Keep in mind, Jets are 3-3. They beat the Eagles. Is there something there, Joe, with the Jets?
There is. There is. I mean, they have an elite defense, and they just have to hope that Zach Wilson is a good enough quarterback to make that offense just good enough. If that offense could just be just a little bit good, they'll win a lot of games.
AFC West, Chiefs are dominating, so let's not have a conversation about that. The AFC North, Ravens dominate. Steelers are up there, and the Browns. But you think the Baltimore Ravens will go all the way?
I think the Bengals will go all the way, actually. I think this is becoming a really good division. Baltimore basically has established themselves as a top five, top six, definitely a top 10 team. The Bengals are going to get good. So it's up to the Steelers and the Browns to keep up. I don't know if they can. I think the Steelers are going to end up with like maybe 9 or 10 wins. Same with the Browns. So it's going to get real interesting in the AFC North.
Joe is being cautious with that division. AFC South, the Jaguars had a good Thursday night football. Texans, I believe, had a bye week, so not much going on. Colts not looking good. Titans not looking good, so it might be between Houston and Jacksonville.
I think it's all Jacksonville. I think Houston's a nice story. but they'll probably, you know, they'll probably win 8 or 9 games. But I think Jacksonville is going to, I think that's a good solid team. I think they're going to come out ahead in this division.
NFC East, Eagles first 6-1, Cowboys 4-2, had a bye week. Commanders 3-4, Giants 2-5. This could also get a little bit mixed for that second place spot, right?
It's all on Dallas. What are you, Dallas? Are you an elite team? Are you a Super Bowl contender? Are you just a team that's going to make the playoffs? Or what's going on here? So that's a big crossroads for Dallas. Eagles are going to easily win this division, but if Dallas can keep up, that'll be really good for them. But I don't know. That's a big question for the Cowboys right now.
NFC West, Niners play tonight, which we'll get to that game later. Seattle second place 4-2, then Rams 3-4, Cardinals 1-6. I don't think they're going to be a competitive. San Francisco, we'll talk about them a little bit later. Let's skip this division. Seahawks are going to hang in there. We'll see when they play San Francisco. NFC North, Lions up top, little shake up with that loss. That's fine. Minnesota plays tonight. Packers 2-4, Bears 2-5. Wow, the Lions are looking pretty clear there.
The Lions, I think, are going to run away with this division. And good for them. You know, that'll give them. They could end up with the number 3 seed in the NFC. Hey, that's not bad. Host a playoff game sounds good.
Not a bad thing. The South, this one division, Joe, it feels like there's a new team like every week, even for the past couple of years. Atlanta is on top. Tampa Bay was on top for a bit. Now they're in second place. Saints are in third, 3-4. And Panthers are 0-6, winless. But this one could, you know, be between those top three.
Yes. Falcons, Bucks, and Saints, they're basically all at the same level. So it's just going to be a three-horse race till the end. And I think it's going to be one of those divisions where one team ends up like 9-8 or something like that, or all three teams end up 9-8 and they win on tiebreakers or something like that. I think it's going to be wild till the last minute.
That's exactly how I have pictured this division, the NFC South. So we'll see what happens in the next upcoming weeks. It's not midseason yet, but it will be in – oh, my bad. I closed down Joe there. But it will be in a week or two, so definitely keep your eyes open. What can happen? Injuries could be a factor, and which is a huge thing for tonight, because CMC will be playing tonight for Monday Night Football. San Francisco 49ers visit the Minnesota Vikings. Who do you got, Joe, for tonight's Monday Night Football game?
McCaffrey better play tonight. My fantasy team depends on it, but I mean that's like you said with the injuries, unfortunately we knew this was an inevitable with the 49ers. They have a great team with great players. It's almost like an all-star team, but then people get hurt. McCaffrey's hurt. They have other injuries going on, and that's just going to weaken them. I think they'll have no problem against the Vikings, but I just wonder how they're going to be the rest of the season. I think they're the clear number one team in the NFL if they could stay healthy.
Now, would you say, because I do think this, Minnesota can just turn on the switch because they got weapons. Do you think that could happen tonight?
It's possible, but remember, they're one of their weapons, Justin Jefferson, isn't there. And he's basically the MVP of the team. I don't know if Jordan Addison, who is their first round draft pick, I don't know if he's good enough to. I don't think he's as good as Jefferson, so that's going to hurt the Vikings. And I think that the Vikings are better than their record. I think they've been pretty unlucky with one score games, but they're just not at the level of the 49ers. I think the 49ers are going to take care of business.
Yeah, Addison, which is in my fantasy team, I'm relying on him because I need 21 points by him tonight.
Oh boy,
I don't know. It's wishful thinking, or that could be very problematic. Very possible. So,
no.
All right. Joe Toscano, if people want to ask, hey, should I order wings or pizza for a football game? What's the best way to reach you?
Why not both? Joey Bag of Donuts, V instead of an F. I want to say something about wings. This is very important. You have drums and you have flats. Drums are vastly superior to flats. Absolutely. I don't care what anybody says. This is a hill I will die on. Drums are superior.
Absolutely. Like flats, it feels very awkward eating it.
I think there's too many bones. I don't need to worry about separating things. It's like, no. Just let me eat the dang thing.
There you have it. Joe says, eat drumsticks. Can you tell a restaurant, hey, don't give me flats. Just give me straight drumsticks.
I think you could do that. I've never done it, but I think you could say, can I have just all drums?
I'll give it a try this week. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast1 or thesportscast.net. We don't have any articles about wings, but we could do that because it is sports.
Write one.
Write one out. And which sauce you should eat? I'm a ranch. You're a blue cheese guy, right?
No, I don't like either. I'm not a fan of ranch or blue cheese. Just give it to me straight.
Straight up. There you have it. Well, there you have it. Another week of NFL football. Looking forward to Monday Night Football. Should be a good game, I think. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Might be a one score, two touchdown win. If it was the Niners, a two score win. But for the Vikings, it might be like a 3-point or a touchdown.
I think it'll be close because it's in Minnesota. So I think that'll help them.
Anyways, Joe, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
And this was your update.